Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much for the time that you've given us here together. Father, I just praise you for the opportunity that you've given me today to speak into the words that you have given me. Father, now I just ask that you would be with the men as they are up in Tadmore. Father, that you would just bless them totally. And Father, that you would bring them home, that they would just be jumping and ready to just strike out for you. Father, now as we look at your word, we just pray that you would be with us, that you would guide and direct us, for we just ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A short time ago, we were challenged with a verse of Scripture. That verse of Scripture you'll find in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Children's church, 3 to 5. I was going to bless you with my speaking, but I bet you that you'd rather have the ladies. So if you guys want to leave... Now go ahead, upstairs?
Yes.
All right, upstairs. I didn't see a lot, but I see one coming down the steps. Yeah, they're coming back. All right. Okay. As we were reading there, I ran into something that... really kind of touched home this morning. As you can see by the, as we had up there on this, on the screen, the message for the day was study the Bible. Why? You know, and as I was reading this portion of Scripture, it came to me, it says, we are have to study the Bible in order to know what to teach and how to go with to these people. You know, we need to know what Jesus' teachings are and what his commandments are before we can go out and make disciples, don't we? You know, I used to think that the disciples really had a real advantage on us. They got to walk with God. They got to see how he talked. They got to see how he handled different people. They got to be with him. Yeah, and yet, as I have grown in Christ and as I've studied God's Word a little bit, I find that, yeah, we're not really disadvantaged at all. We have God's Word. He's recorded those words for us and to have. He's recorded what Jesus said. He's recorded the testimony of Jesus' followers. He's recorded all of this in the book that we call the Bible. The disciples got one shot. They were with Jesus for 3 years. They walked with him. They either got it or they lost it. He gave us his word forever. We can have it whenever we want it. We just have to pick it up. You know, as Christian believers, nothing should really be more natural to us than reading the Bible. In 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, Peter compares it to a baby's natural craving for milk. Like newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As the baby needs milk to grow and survive, we also need the Scriptures for our spiritual growth and our survival. God's Word, the Bible, has affected millions of people and millions of lives over thousands of years. And God wants it to change our lives as well. Do you love the Bible? Have you really ever thought about loving the Bible? I really pray that you do. I pray that you do love the Bible because no matter what your experience has been with the Bible, I think if you'll take time to think with me just a little bit about what the Bible really is today, then you'll find a real reason for loving it. When we talk about the Bible, we sometimes use big words. We sometimes don't really consider what we're saying or who we're talking to. Maybe the strongest thing we could say about the Bible, and that we do say about the Bible, is it's the Word of God. But have you ever really thought about what that means? Really, it should just blow you away. You know, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God decided to write to us. What could possibly be more important to us than reading His Word? Yeah. How would you respond? How would you respond if you heard the voice of God come down and spoke to you today? You're just doing your little thing, walking along. Whatever it is that you happen to be doing this Sunday morning. And all of a sudden you hear this. Hey, Butch. Yeah. You know, what would you do? Several places in the Old Testament and in through the New Testament, God speaks to people, doesn't He? He comes down and literally speaks to them. And what do we find? What's their reaction? Fear? Falling on their face? Always showing reverence. Have you ever thought about showing that same reverence when you go to the Word? If we really believe that the Bible is the Word of God, it needs to change every part of our existence. It needs to guide us in every decision that we make in life. And it needs to be more than just a book we're familiar with. If God designed and created the world, if He made us and placed us in His world, and He takes the time to create a record of who He is and who we are, what could be more important to us than the words He gave us to guide us every waking minute that we're here? So God's Word is very important to us, isn't it? And understanding that importance of God's Word to us is really just a little bit of a portion of what I would like to talk to us a little bit about today. The way we approach God and His Word is equally important. Our approach should always be with reverence, with humility, and with the right motives. As I studied this past week or so, and I've been reading so many different books, but as I ran into a scholar, and I call him a scholar because I think he spends a lot of time in God's Word, and it's Francis Chan. And here was the thing that he had to say about it. It says, many Christians misuse the Bible because they never ask themselves why they're studying it in the first place. The question is, are we studying the right book for the wrong reasons? If we look at motives for reading the Bible, one of the first that really comes to my mind is guilt. Yeah, we know we should spend time reading God's Word, don't we? After all, that's what good Christians do. They go to church. They hang out with other Christians. They tithe. They don't gossip. They don't swear. And they read the Bible. We may not want to admit it,
But guilt is a pretty powerful motivator. It also, sometimes we drive ourselves to setting goals. Like, I need to read so many chapters a day so that I can be in God's Word. And as we set these goals and we stick to them, we sometimes find that we're passing them on to others. And before you know it, we realize that, are they really meeting God's standards? But God didn't give them those standards. God didn't tell us we have to read X amount of verses a day, did he? So whose standard is it? God's or yours? It's ours. But here again, because good Christians read their Bible, and we read it every day, if you don't meet your Bible quota, guilt tends to creep in there, doesn't it? All right, what about status? We reserve a certain level of respect for those who really know their Bibles well, don't we? And rightly so. They deserve it. We should all strive to know our Bible. We should all strive to understand and to apply God's Word. It should be in the tip of our tongues. It should be buried deep in our hearts. But why do we actually study God's Word? God is pleased when we treasure His Word. But do you really think He's pleased with the desire to be the go-to guy? With a desire to appear intelligent? To desire to be the most spiritual man in the room? I think not. That doesn't really bring him any glory, does it? And what's God's Word tell us? It's to bring glory to Him. It's not about studying the Bible too much, as if that's possible. It's about motivation. Are you driven by an insatisfiable desire to know God? To be changed by His Word? To love and to serve those around us? Studying the Bible to be better than someone else is ridiculous. God cares about your character. When you read the Bible, do you truly listen to what God wants to teach you? And I might want to say that in a different way. Do you really hear what God wants to teach you? Because you can listen and not hear, can't you? You need to hear what God is telling you. Or do you just view the Bible as merely a source? You know, we teach Sunday schools. We get placed in a position to where we're supposed to deliver a message or a sermon. We teach Bible studies. But do we really just use God's Word as a source for information? I'm not saying we don't need to use Bible's Word. The Bible, we have to. God gave it to us to use. But do you really allow God to transform you with those words? Or do you just dig for little gems to pass on? Perhaps the best way that I've found to motivate yourself is to ask God, or to ask one question of yourself. Why did God give us the Bible? Have you ever thought about that? You know, we sometimes kind of flip it and saying, what is the Bible? It's God's Word. But why did He choose to speak to us in this way?
Why did he propose to write down these words? His words in this Bible. Yeah, he used human authors to write it. But ultimately, they're God's words. God gave each one of these authors the words that he would have them to write. And what are the purpose? Have you ever thought about the purpose of the Bible? From the beginning to the end of the Bible, God is the subject matter. So the answer that stands out in my mind is that so we can know him better. In Genesis, he speaks all things into existence. In Revelation, it ends with the same God reigning over all that he has created and everything. And in the between, it shows his character and his attributes by talking about his sovereign action throughout history. It's all about God. You know, our human nature makes us want to believe that this is a human-centered world. But God gave us the Bible to show that, in fact, everything revolves around him. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's described as holy, not just as holy, but as holy, holy, holy. A description to emphasize the real difference between God and man. The Bible teaches us all this and more. His word enables us to live godly lives. Peter said that God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his glory in 2 Peter 1 through 3. You know, simply put, we could say that through the knowledge of God, we gain everything we need to live a life pleasing to God. Everything else that we use to motivate ourselves is fine. But I think this needs to go to the top of the list. Study God's word to be godly. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This means, like we said before, that all scripture is literally breathed out by God. You know, but take note of the last part. That last part of that sentence. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why study the Bible? So that we can be a complete, mature people, equipped and ready to do anything God asks us to do. Why are we on this earth, and why did God give us the Bible? I believe he gave it to us to guide us in taking part in what God has planned for us. So when we read the Bible, we need to view his words not just as words, but as marching orders. Rather than randomly finding verses to support our views, his words needs to shape our hopes and our dreams so that we can become his hopes and his dreams. Paul says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. When we come to the Bible without an agenda, looking for ways to accomplish God's will, we will walk away more like the people that God desires us to be. Remember Peter's exhortation. So put away all malice and all deceit and
hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Set aside sinful desires and simply long to be fed and nourished by the Word of God. A simple concept that can bring life-changing results. You will know God's love and be in tune with how you can join God in His work, in loving and serving the people around you. He continues on. And as I was reading through this week, it just went on and on and on. And I read it, and I wrote part of it, and I set it down, and I says, Fran, will you read this for me? And see where God is trying to go. Well, she takes her little pencil and she scratches this and she scratches this and she touches this and she touches that and she goes back and she does this and she does that. And basically, she says, you've said it all. Why go on? So I'm looking up the clock and I'm seeing it's 11:09. And I'm thinking in my heart, Lord, I'm glad Pastor Mike's still at men's roundup. But I'm going to stop right here, guys, because I think God said it all. We need to be in His Word. And we need to be in His Word for the right reasons.